This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
From the ArmeniaProud.com studios,
Genatsit Hayed.
This is A Toast to Armenia with Jano Kabinjian. A comprehensive look at the Armenian culture, only on lineupmedia.fm.
Genatsit, Genatsit Pailuis Inchpesek. How are you, Brian?
I am doing just fine.
Some news here before we get to our guest. You know what? It's not really our guest. It's Anush. And Anush, we did something new this time. I'll tell our fans about it.
Yes.
And Ara Persigian, a big-time coach for Notre Dame, at the age of 94, passed away. And you know what? This was the kind of guy that I always looked up to. I played football for 17 years, and Ara Persigian, Notre Dame coach. I mean, Notre Dame, being part of Notre Dame is like in college, that's big time. In baseball, playing for the New York Yankees is big time. In the NFL, I guess playing for the Dallas Cowboys is big time. So Ara Persigian was the head coach of Notre Dame, and he was a hell of a coach. And rest in peace, coach. At age of 94, he passed away. So, I mean, that's a good long life, though.
Long life.
Yeah.
So, accomplished
and
a lot.
And he lived a happy life, and God bless. And folks, you know, we sent Anush microphones, and we sent her some stuff out there to the West Coast to where she can do some interviews out
now,
there.
I've had a few talks with her about how to set that stuff up, and she did a great job.
I thought she did too. Yeah, you heard that?
Yes.
Yeah,
it was pretty good. Sent me a couple of test pieces of audio, and it turned out great. So I'm looking forward to seeing what we got with her today.
And what we did with Anush was we sent her out. I mean, you know, it was kind of like having her go out, kind of like a news team. We're becoming a news team, Brian.
Yep.
And Anush went out, and she interviewed a wine company, I think the owner and all that. Well, I guess we'll get to it. I can't wait to hear it with you guys on this show. So, Anush, tell us a little bit about it.
Hi, guys. I am very excited. I did myself too. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to visit San Antonio Winery that is located in the heart of downtown Los Angeles.
Wow.
And they are actually celebrating their 100th anniversary this year. They have been in business for 100 years.
Wow.
This is Italian immigrants. They have established the winery 100 years ago, basically. And I met with the president of, who is also the third generation owner, and his name is Santo Riboli.
Huh. Wow. You hung out with him. You got to know the whole company then.
It was amazing. He gave me the best tour ever, and we talk about it later on. You can listen and find out in the podcast. He gave me the interview of the winery. He told me about all the brands that they make, about their wine tasting locations, and one is just, like I said, in downtown Los Angeles. There's one in Ontario, California, and another one in Paso Robles. But they also have a restaurant that you can go spend your day, weekend, like afternoon, eat, drink, and you can also bring your children. It's children friendly.
Well, I tell you what, Anush, let's get this out there. Let's play the interview. You know, Brian, this is like on the scene, Armenia Proud. This is beautiful.
Anush on the scene.
Yes, Anush on the scene with Armenia Proud. Well, I tell you what, Brian, play it. Let's hear it.
Hello there. Very excited about today's show. I'm visiting San Antonio Winery, which is located in the heart of Los Angeles, California, right in downtown. I'm going to talk to Santo Riboli, who is the president of the winery and third generation owner. Hello, Mr.
Hello,
Riboli.
Anush.
How are you?
Good, thanks.
Thank you so much for having us, for having me here. Such a pleasure.
You're welcome.
So I wanted to, there's a few reasons that I came today. First, to see the winery. I've never been here before. And secondly, I wanted to introduce to the Armenian listeners and also non-Armenian listeners about this wonderful place that you can come, taste wine, enjoy your day, have a beautiful meal, and spend a day learning about wine. So, Mr. Ribeli, why don't you tell us about the winery? Who established the winery?
Sure, Anoush. Well, the winery, we're currently in four generations, but the first generation was my uncle Santo with his brothers. And they came from northern Italy near Padua. In 1912, they settled here in this area, which is called Lincoln Heights, just below Dodger Stadium. And then they founded the winery where you're, in fact, the room that you're sitting in today, they founded this in 1917.
Wow. It's beautiful place. Okay. And what was the inspiration? Why did they want to establish a winery? I mean, besides being Italian, of course, it's in the blood.
Probably more opportunity because in Italy they weren't grape growers or winemakers. They were muratori. They were stonemasons.
Mm-hmm.
But when they came here in 1912, they worked for the railroad. The railroad around us was probably the greatest employer that this community had. But over 3 or 4 years, they kind of realized the Italian community that was here, other European communities, and it was a very large wine business here at one time. You know, there were 90 wineries here in Los Angeles at one time.
Wow.
When they started, Los Angeles City, not just the county. Grapes were in Burbank and Sylmar and Glendale, all over. So their opportunity was that, you know, they said, well, we're here, we like what we see, I think we should begin making wine in their own rudimentary way. They began San Antonio Winery, more like opportunity.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. I'm glad they did, because
Thank
it's
you.
A wonderful place. So, and where does the name come from, San Antonio?
It comes from St. Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
So in our Catholic faith, our people are Venetian, the province of Venice, and in that province there's the city of Padua, which we are very near to. And the patron saint of Padua in the Catholic faith is San Antonio di Padua.
Mm-hmm.
It's St. Anthony of Padua. So St. Anthony was, to the immigrants, immigrant Italians especially, was considered the saint of opportunities and finding things, finding your way. So everyone had an icon to, you know, to pray to.
Yeah.
So it was named after St. Anthony.
That's a beautiful story.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, I don't see vineyards around, so mm-hmm. where do the grapes come from?
Yeah, there used to be a lot of vineyards here, and we never owned vineyards ourselves here, but today, so fast-forwarding 100 years, because we have been here 100 years on this land, our grapes today, the area that we've chosen are three.
Mm-hmm.
One is Monterey County. And within Monterey, there's different regions like Santa Lucia Highlands and Arroyo Seco and Soledad. And each region is climatically different. But we grow white grapes there, and we grow one red only because of the climate, Pinot Noir. In the Paso Robles region, we really love this region. It makes excellent red wines. And with some exceptions, a few whites, but mainly red. So in Paso Robles, we grow the family of Cabernet Sauvignon, the family of Syrah, the family of Zinfandels. We grow mainly red grapes in all our vineyards there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third area, which is very traditional for us, in the old days, the grapes for this winery and wineries in L.A. were mainly local, Burbank, Pasadena, Cucamonga, Ontario,
mm-hmm.
and then as those shifted out because of urbanization starting in the 30s, everything started shifting to Bakersfield, Fresno. So our Fresno vineyards mm-hmm. supply us with what we call our traditional wines, wines we make in larger quantities. For example, wines for the Catholic Church for Communion mm-hmm. comes from our Fresno vineyards.
I see.
Very traditional. So we have three groups of areas for three different purposes.
I see. That's wonderful. So that and so the next question would be, where is the wine made, and how many types or brands do you have? And that might be a too big of a question. We can split it into.
No, it's fine. The wines are made at three facilities. We still make wine here in Los Angeles, certain varieties, like certain white wines. Our new Paso Robles facility is state-of-the-art, so we make... That's our main winemaking facility. And then just a few miles from that was our first Paso Robles facility that we built 18 years ago. So we have really three facilities to make wine, and each one has a different program, a different purpose. Because of size and technique and quantities that we want to make at each one. So we're able to make a larger volume of something, and then we're able to make 200 cases of something because of our different facilities. And you asked about the brands. Typically, the original brand was San Antonio, St. Anthony, and there's still wines under that. But the... our brands now are St. Simeon, our brands are Opaque, Windstream, Maddalena is a brand. And these kind of represent different vineyards along the coast of California, Paso Robles and Monterey, and different winemaking styles. So our major varietal brands are those four. San Antonio is the major, call it, traditional brand.
I see.
Of semi-sweet wines, communion wines, things like that. And then we do have one other brand called Riboli Family, which represents our vineyard in Rutherford, Napa Valley, and that is on its own brand. So these brands represent different styles, price levels, techniques, and so forth.
Different regions.
Different
of
regions, definitely.
Beautiful. So... where can, if the listeners are not in L.A., can they find some of those wines in the other states, or can they purchase them online? That's another question that I had.
And that's a good question, because I think in California it's very easy because there are markets, and they can come to our own tasting room here or a tasting room in Paso Robles. Online, very easy. Online in the United States, where it's permissible, is probably the easiest way, to buy the complete breadth of our wines. After that, each state kind of picks and chooses certain things. Like sometimes you might find a St. Simeon Pinot Noir in one state, but you won't find it in another. It's gone by what has been developed over time in popularity. But online will tell you exactly where which wines are sold in certain states as well.
I worked in distribution in Texas,
And
I remember Maddalena being there. So,
who'd you work for?
I worked for a small company called Heritage Wines.
Sure.
So I came across. The Maddalena wines. Yeah. I haven't had a chance to try them, so I'll try today. And it's been on my mind to come and, see, taste. Yeah. So thank you so much for having me. But
you're welcome.
So another question that I had is, which kind of like now I can see the answer to that, which wines influence you to make certain wines? And I think it's more like a regions that it's regions,
I think the first is that as we realized what consumers' tastes were heading to, like, for example, good Pinot Noir, it really forced us to look into areas that were really Pinot Noir growing areas that favored that particular climate with that particular grape. So first was looking at what our customers needed, and then looking at where would we buy land to plant those kind of grapes. So typically, yes, the climate and the regions influence what we grow. Okay. But we do grow many things because we like adventure. We like different varieties and not just stay with one.
With just one.
So we kind of have more, be honest, a little more fun that way.
Yeah, it is. Of course, it is. If you have the capability, and
yes.
It's good to explore, you know, other varietals and bring, just like you said, listen to your customers and
that's right.
give them what they want. And so then, who are your customers? That's another question.
We have a great range of customers, and I tell you what we're very pleased with here. We have, number one, we have a wide range of ethnic families that buy from us, and we enjoy that because, it you know, each profiles are different, but, you know, we have families from Nigerian, families from Armenian, families from Guatemala, and you name it, Russia, And we love that because the taste profiles, number one, it's fun to deal with many people.
It is.
The personalities of people, their languages, and, you know, and they are immigrants to America, right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of exciting, like we were immigrants 100 years ago. And then with that comes the different taste profiles of these different families, what they look for. And that kind of guides us a lot, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I know you tasted earlier, after the filtration, a little bit of San Antonio Cardinale. That's a very popular wine in many communities, the Armenian, the Russian, Hispanic community, very popular.
It was, the aroma and the sip just brought a memory of my childhood. I mean, I didn't drink wine, I drank the juice, but the grape is very similar. To the aroma was just like taking me
very
back.
Very aromatic.
To, yeah, and my mom grew up in Russia, so I spent half of my childhood in Russia. Wonderful. So when I talk to people who are just beginning, who are just getting into the wine, and they are intimidated, they don't. Feel comfortable to go to a winery or taste wine because they feel like they don't know. So what would you tell to those listeners who really want to come, and but they're kind of intimidated? So I'm sure it's very warm in here, but what's the encouragement?
I think here it might be easier for customers that are not used to wine or that want to experience wine. It's easy because we offer samples, and our staff talks about them and kind of understands what people are looking for. I think it's harder when you might go to a supermarket, even though there's tremendous variety. It's kind of like if there's no one to guide you, am I making the right choice? And so I think what I would say to customers are: don't be misled by price. Price doesn't mean that it's better or it's to your liking better. And that has kind of nothing to do with it. I think you have to look at qualities and styles. But I think when people come here, they can taste wine, and we could really understand what we think after a taste or two, what we should gear to them, which way we should head them, to be honest.
What they like.
But I would say price isn't the issue, even though some people believe that paying a lot means it's better. It may not be better for you, for your taste.
Well, that's a wonderful answer and explanation because, yes, there's a perception that if the price is higher, the wine is supposed to be better. But for some people, they would taste that high-priced wine and they don't like it, and then they feel like they don't know anything. And my answer to them, too, is like, whatever you like, that's the best wine for you.
No, most definitely. And so I think we're kind of blessed in our company because, yes, we have, you know, the $60 bottle of Napa Valley. However, we have Stella Rosa that we sell, you know, 1.5 million cases of a year at $8 a bottle, which are so refreshing and semi-sweet. So basically, there's something for everyone, and depending on what stage of wine drinking they're in or what mood, because sometimes You know, wine tastes a lot better with a hamburger at a barbecue, something refreshing, than a Napa Valley Cabernet would.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Depending on 100 degree outside and you're having a barbecue. So we kind of match the moods for people, too.
That's wonderful. Which brings me to the Stella Rosa. It's a brand, very interesting brand, very popular brand. I'd like you to tell me, is it made here in the United States? Is it in Italy? And then we also have some wine here that we're going to taste in a minute. I would love you to tell about this wine, too.
So Stella Rosa, number one, is made in the little town of Asti in northern Italy near the Swiss-French border. It's the area where my mother was born and raised. And her name is Maddalena. So Stella Rosa, we began producing Stella Rosa about 25 years ago. So it's my mother's family, it's our family. So we are the owners of Stella Rosa, and we produce Stella Rosa ourselves in Asti. And the typical style, so they'll produce their bottle there and then, of course, import it here. But the typical style would be wines that a consumer can expect, very fresh, very crisp wines with sweetness, but not heavy sweetness, very delicate sweetness, but very crisp. And they all are fermented as we're fermenting, creating the wine. They all are created with a little bit of natural carbonation, almost like champagne, but they're not. And all that is very natural, so it has that little bubbliness to it that people really like as well. So that's a general style of Stella Rosa. Different grapes used, different flavors, but the general style. And it's proved to be very, you know, very, very popular.
Very popular,
very
popular. Very popular, very... like you said, refreshing, very good balance. So beautiful. And I know I have a lot of friends who love that wine, family members who love the wine. They have, like, I go to their homes and they have, like, and they're excited. My sister pulled out, she's like, I got this black Stella Rosa and I got the red label. And they all ask me about it. And do you like it? Do you like it? I'm like, I of course I do. So I'm going to tell them that I actually visited the winery, and here is the story behind Stella Rosa for you.
Would you like to taste the Rosso while you're here?
Yes, let's do that. Cheers.
Cheers. That's for you.
Oh, this is
that's
the one.
That's for you. That's your Rosso.
Okay. So this is the...
It's called the Rosso.
It's called Rosso. The Stella Rosa Rosso.
This is where it all started over 20 years ago with this one wine.
Very nice.
So even the consumer that likes dry wine, typically, you know, wines like this have their place because they're so refreshing.
Exactly.
And they're not over the top sweet at all.
Yeah. No. Absolutely
not.
Very
balanced.
It has very good acidity. Mm-hmm. And it's also another great thing is that you can actually chill it.
Yes.
It's a chilled wine that you can have in
good
a warm
point.
Warmer weather and. I love it. Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Welcome.
So what do we have here next? Which one is this next
one?
Oh,
and this one was the under the San Antonio label, very traditional. It's called Imperial Red, which is a semi-sweet red wine, about 12% alcohol, made from our grapes in Fresno.
I see.
See? And again, wines for different consumers, different alcohol levels, but I love this old label. This is really our historic label. That was our original label of literally 90 years ago.
Wow.
With the Cathedral of San Antonio di Padua in Italy. See?
This is beautiful. Is this aged in oak?
Nope.
No oak at all.
This is strictly, I mean, it's aged and stainless, but
yeah.
To think, these we grow in our vineyards in Fresno. Which should be dear to an Armenian's heart because
yes,
Fresno, there were the Italians alongside the Armenians from another generation and alongside the Croatians.
Yeah. There's still a very big Armenian community in there.
Yes.
Grape growers, some grape growers. I think there's the big one, Avgenian Vineyards.
Avgenian,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
and I don't know who else, but well, a little slight diversion. My mom works for Tree Planting, and she visits Fresno, and she visits the older community. So, but anyway, back to the wine.
And then you have Yetem, the old communities of Yetem. There. You know, you have the old communities founded by the early immigrants from Turkey, from Anatolia.
Wow.
In Fresno.
That's amazing.
Anyway, that was a nice history.
Thank you for the piece of history. So, this San Antonio winery is beautiful. I mean, it's very historic. I'm tasting basically history in the glass. So has it evolved since the beginning, or pretty much stayed in the same
style? Like
style, yeah.
Well, the styles are much fresher now. You know?
Okay.
Wines are well made now, better made over time than they were years ago. But no, they've all, and this is a, if you'd like to try, I'm not sure what you may want to taste, but this is a San Simeon Viognier from Paso Robles. There's a Zinfandel from Paso Robles. And I'll tell you what's really interesting. The many of the Armenian, see, this is very, the Viognier is a floral.
Yes.
Just like a Moscato. It's all related. Riesling, Viognier, Muscats, which is also close to an Armenian's heart because, you know, good Muscat for eating and raisins is delicious, I think preferred in the Armenian community.
Wow. So this Viognier is absolutely stunning.
Yeah, I enjoy that wine.
It's very, very nice. So this is from
Paso Robles.
Paso Robles.
Yeah.
So, I asked you where the listeners can purchase the wine. Do you have a wine club?
We do. And it's online also. And it's a nice club. In that club, we kind of put out so online is easy. Our tasting room is easy to enjoy all the varieties. But the wine club is what my son does, who's our master winemaker. It's for the unusual varieties that we make in small quantities, like call it a Tanat or a special Zinfandel. Viognier is our normal line that a customer can buy here for $16, and that wouldn't be part of the wine club.
Mm.
It's the very unusual varieties.
So more like esoteric wines.
Very esoteric, very, I don't care to say, just kind of the best of the best of the year. But I love the Viognier because you could enjoy it as an everyday wine.
Yeah.
Without having to go to a wine
club. So basically, if you are a club member, you get the more rare, more
unusual.
Exclusive, unusual wines. But if you just want to purchase any of the other wines, you can just log in purchase it.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Or come here.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the Armenians, I'm sure Italians, just like Italians, we'll like to have parties, we'll like to entertain, we'll like to rent places, go to nice new places, unique places to have parties. And instead of traveling all the way north or south, you know, why not do it here? Is there a capability of you hosting parties?
There is. And I will say, that my sister, Kathy, is the one that takes care of our restaurant. Even though my mother, who's almost 95, does come here every other day to make raviolis, by the way.
Oh.
But we have, we have the accommodations to cater to birthday parties and retirements or baptisms. I mean, we welcome that with all the different rooms that we have available here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we really are in the restaurant business, but also in the hospitality business also. We have that.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. I will post the pictures that I took, and I also will attach the website so they can see. I mean, this would be a perfect venue to have a nice birthday party or just like you said, a baptizing or a graduation, something to cherish with the family. But even networking too, like the corporate events too, for the small like team building events would be good.
We welcome that a lot.
Yeah,
because we have all the video conferencing and all that. But no, we're flexible.
Nice, that's good to know. And also, I have two kids. And I love wine. I like going places with my kids. Are you kid friendly? Like, do you have a place where we can bring kids and they won't be, of course, under supervision? We can't just bring them in and let them run loose.
Well, I'll answer you. I think maybe it's our own cultures, but we do love children.
Yeah.
And we welcome children. And this winery, to be honest, I think this winery was successful because it welcomed families. And with the families, they were able to bring their children with them, grandparents, whatever. And they almost made it an outing for generations for generations. So we do welcome children, and we make it a point that every child or under 21 that comes in that door is given a glass of grape juice.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And it's grape juice that it's really delicious. It's Stella Rosa juice unfermented. So anyway, every child is given a glass of juice as they enter that door.
That's wonderful.
That's protocol from 60 years.
I'm bringing my kids. I'm definitely bringing them because they love, they know that their mommy's into wine, and I like to talk about it. So this would be a good place for them to come and, you know, drink the juice, enjoy the place, and have fun. So
you bet.
I mean, there's so many questions and there is so much to ask, but, you know, we have a few more wines here to taste and then we can round it up and we can come back again and visit.
Sure.
And please,
whenever
listeners,
you like.
If you have any questions, always comment below in the links or message. Visit the winery website. If you are in LA, come out, visit. It's a beautiful place. So what's next?
I'm just going to have you try one because there's quite a few here. But this, it's interesting. In our Armenian community here, and Armenians from many parts of the world, whether it be from Egypt, Persia, wherever it may be, this is a style that seems to be very appealing. We call it darkness, opaque darkness. But it's a blend of Paso Robles. It's really Zinfandel, Petit Syrah, and a grape called Petit Verdot. And it's very ripe and round. And it's really a neat kind of red wine. Instead of a typical straight varietal, this is a blend. It goes very well with lamb.
Wow.
Very ripe. Alcohol is about 14.8. Very well with lamb.
Very
well with rotisserie kind of meats. You know, those meats with a lot of flavor that are either roasted or rotisserie with a lot of herbs. Goes very well with that.
Yeah, like rosemary and garlic.
Yep.
Wow, it has a very refined nose.
Yes. I don't think you'll find any of our wines heavy. They might be rich, but not over-the-top heavy. I don't think we prefer
that.
Wow,
this is wonderful.
It has a lot of different flavors. You know?
It's very nice.
But anyway,
this
we call it
beautiful.
Opaque, which is a brand. Paso Robles, Darkness, and it's a blend. It's a blend of, we think, what works well. And this is age. You mentioned about age. This has been age 18 months in oak.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It has a very velvety tannins. Mm-hmm. So has a very good mouthfeel, very good aroma.
Thank you.
Quite a long finish.
I like this
one. I can still, like I took a sip and I can still have the flavors developing still in my mouth. So it's wonderful. Cheers.
Cheers.
It's wonderful. So thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Anoush.
Thank you for being
welcome
on the Armenia Proud Toast to Armenia channel. It was my pleasure being here.
Well, you come back again. Bring your children.
I will.
Grape juice.
I will. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right.
Anoush, bravo. That was beautiful.
Wasn't that fun? It was such a good experience, and I can't wait to go back with my family and friends.
Wow, and I love the way Brian, she was like, Armenia Proud.
Yeah,
Armenia.
No, really, really giving the promotion. I like it.
Yeah, it's like we've got our own news team out there now.
The Armenia Proud news
there
team.
There we go.
Yeah, bravo, Anoush.
Exploring
that was
Los Angeles and California.
Yeah. Well, you're going to be doing a lot more of this. It sounds like this is your glitch here. We love it. This is something that you felt very comfortable with. So I think our fans are going to love this.
That's what I was thinking, you know, not just talking about the wine and retelling somebody's story, but also finding places where people can go and enjoy wine and learn about wine, and friendly places, actually, right, that you can also bring your kids. So that's my main purpose, to find good places that we can go have wine and have fun.
Well, not only that, and this kind of sets up for something possibly even like restaurants and all that, to where down the line we could even explore into that as well, with you getting out there and giving us a little, you know, like a little restaurant critic, you know, to you could tell us where to go and all that stuff. It'll be great.
That would be wonderful. We can go interview some of our Armenian restaurant owners, yeah, or wine bar owners, and etc. So that's something very exciting, and something to bring to people that they can relate to.
Yeah, because there's so many Armenian restaurants out there, so many Armenian wine places to where people can go that we just don't know about, and you know, you can bring them up. That is great. Good stuff, Anush. Thank you so much.
I'm excited. Thank you.
All right. A new segment, Brian. How about that?
I'm enjoying it so far. Let's see what we can do in the future.
All right.
Looking forward to it.
I think she handled that quite well.
I thought she did a great job.
You know, I think we need to send you out to one of these places.
Send me out to a random winery in California?
Yeah, send you out to a winery. No, folks, Anush, God bless. You did a great job, and we're going to hear a lot more of Anush doing, I guess, on-the-spot reporting now.
Anush on the scene.
On the scene with Armenia Proud.
We need to send her like a little, you know, thing that goes on the microphone that says Armenia Proud, you know, it's like so she can be real official.
Right. We can make it, well, we can't put that. What can we put on the little sticker there?
Well,
picture of me, maybe?
No, you have to do like the Armenian flag or something like that. So.
Yeah, or line up or something like
yes,
that.
Yes, exactly.
Anyway, my friends, we're going to cut this show a little short this week. I got something, a new segment next week that I think you guys are really going to like. We're going to be talking with, you know what? Let's just keep it in the wraps here. I can't wait to tell you
keep
guys a little
secret
bit about it. Yeah. And, hey, catch our shows. You guys are outstanding. Even when we play the repeat shows, the encores, you guys still tune in and you still download. And God bless. Just check us out on Stitcher, Google Play, Podcast Beam.
Podbean.
I always get that one mixed up, Brian. Why do I always screw that one up?
I don't know.
And we got ArmeniaProud.com.
Yep.
And that way, if you go to ArmeniaProud.com, please check out Amazon. It'll be on your right-hand side. Click on Amazon, shop away, buy whatever you want to buy, and you won't see Armenia Proud anymore. You just click away, and you're just buying. And we're getting a little love back from Amazon on that. And how about a little love back on iTunes? Go to iTunes, and when you're downloading on iTunes, why not leave a little review too?
Yeah.
You can't go wrong with that. Leave a little review. A little higher. Iraru oknink. Anigalcha love iraru oknink. I said if Armenians help each other. Yes, that a boy. That a boy. Brian agrees with me. So thank you so much again, my friends, for tuning in. Check us out next week. We'll have a longer show. We'll have lot more versatile show. We'll have everything that you guys are used to hearing on our show. This show, it was kind of just one dimension, but you know what? I really wanted to hear what Anush had, and we didn't know how long it would go, and we let Anush take it.
Yeah.
We let Anush roll with it, and I said, you know what? Let's not have any guests or anything. Let's just play Anush's reel on this one.
Anush on assignment.
Anush on assignment. I like that. All right, my friends, from Toast Armenia here, from Brian Jano. Take care. Genatsit Kisher Party. We'll see you next week.
Tune in next week for another episode of A Toast to Armenia with Jano Kabinjian. Find the show online at armeniaproud.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation at facebook.com/armeniaproud or Twitter at armeniaproud. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.